Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
It goes on to say, His divine power. So everything flows not from me, not from any strength that I have, because I don't got it. His divine power. Well, how much is that? Look at the universe. Do you think that there's so much? I mean, we see the power, but do you suppose that power is not, I mean, that what he has for us now is less than that? Think about what Paul said when he wanted the believers in the Ephesian church to realize that the power that he is expressing toward us is the same power that brought Christ out of the grave and set him on a throne. And not only that, he took us and sent us on that throne with him. But do we actually believe that on a day-to-day basis? That's the sobering question. God wants to bring us to a place of real faith that is practical, that is an everyday thing. So anyway, Peter goes on, His divine power, what's that done? Has given us, all right? Thank God it's given, not earned. But what is it that it's been given? Everything we need for a godly life. Everything we need for a godly life. Everything you need. Everything I need. There isn't a single thing to which he has called us when it has to do with the kind of person we are or the work that he's called us to do that he has not promised to give us what we need for that to happen. I don't have the power for that. But do we really believe that we have the power? That's the question. All right? So everything we need for a godly life through what? Through our knowledge of Him. Our knowledge of Him. Now, where does that come from? Yes, it comes from a personal relationship. Where did Jesus' knowledge come from? Obviously, he talked to his Father, but that wasn't what he answered the devil with. It is written, it is written, it is written. Always went back to this because he recognized, my God inspired this. He locked up power that I need to stand against this devil right now. In fact, he had me in mind. He knew about this temptation. Oh, by the way, who sent Jesus out to be tempted? The Spirit led him out there. You think God knew what was going to happen? Do you think he made preparation for that? Do you think he put those words in and caused them to be recorded and remembered and written and read with that in mind? I'll ask the question again. Do you think he has us in mind? That's an amazing thought when you think about it, when you meditate on it. All right? Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. All right? Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. What do you think? Is any power in divine nature? Yeah, just a little bit. Just enough to do what, I mean, he's limitless in his power. And yet God wants us to be able to actually access some of that power according to our need and his plan. Well, where does that come from? What he tells us is from his promises. Do we really believe what he says in his word? I know you can always say, oh yeah, I believe it. But what does believing mean? Again, I'll use the illustration of the difference between standing on a bridge declaring you believe in it and actually walking out on it and committing your weight to it. When Jesus said what he did to the devil and the answer, this wasn't a, I've read this in the Bible and that you got to listen to this. This was, with all of my being, I am resting upon what God said. End of story. I believe it. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. This is a conviction of my heart. You can kill me. I ain't budging off of this. You see what faith begins to mean? It means that I am right now, this word that God locked up so long ago, he had me in mind. And I have a real need. And he had me and my need in mind when he wrote and preserved those words. And right now is the time when he wants to quicken that word and breathe life into it. And so that there is that side of it. It's not just words in a book. There's a living God who will shine a light on a promise in his word that he wants me to remember. And then now what am I supposed to do with that? Well, he kind of wants me to believe it and act like I really believe it. And not just, oh yeah, that's what it says. Okay, that's great. I believe with all my heart, God wants us to absolutely lay hold of things. More than we do. You think about things that Paul said, for example, his own testimony. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, a lot of us can quote that. But how real is that in our daily lives? Do you really believe that that he had you in mind when he preserved that promise? Is that just for Paul and special ones? You know, you see where Paul wrote to them in was it Romans 6, about reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive to God. There's an exercise of actual faith where this becomes not something that we can look at and say, yeah, this is true, this is true. It becomes, this is a conviction of my heart. Right now, here, right in the middle of what I'm feeling or not feeling, this is true. When Christ died on the cross, I was there. I was crucified with him. I embrace that with all of my being, and I thank God for it. It's a reality that I am depending on right this moment. It's real. And not only that, I have a brand new life that God is building up and learning, teaching me how to express. And it comes entirely from him, but there's a brand new life. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do we really stand on that and live it out? That's the sobering thought. Do you think God wants us to? Do you think that we're being presumptuous to go to him and saying, Lord, I'm in need. There are areas of my life where I have had bondages where I'm not really free. I see what the word says, but it ain't happening in here. And I still need help and deliverance. Do you think we can go to God from our hearts and he's going to say, you handle it? Or do you think he's going to come and respond? But when he responds, he's going to be going to promises of this book. And we can't just say, oh, well, that's praise God. That was wonderful for them, wonderful for somebody else. But it's not quite, doesn't quite fit me or my situation. The devil will come up with every kind of excuse. And those silly little creatures that seem so intimidating when you see them, what they really are, we realize they are desperate. They are desperate to get us to believe anything but what this book says and the author who empowered it. God has locked up everything you and I need to be overcomers in this life and to actually move into whatever supernatural gifts that God wants to distribute. Was that just something we sing about? We rejoice in the idea of it, or does God actually mean what he says? Can we not start where we're at and just cry out to God and say, oh God, help me to get this. Teach me. Give me the faith that really just lays hold of this. You know, over and over again, you see that sense where Paul talked to Timothy, lay hold, lay hold. There's something out there that you don't have right now. God wants you to have it. It's yours. If you're willing to fight for it and claim it and stand by faith and absolutely believe that it is yours. How many of us actually believe Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and so forth, all of that. Does that make a difference, or is it just an idea that we've given mental assent to? That was part of the challenge. I started thinking about different scriptures and how we say we believe them. And of course, one of the things the devil loves to do is to make us afraid. We all experience that. But what was the conviction of Paul? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Well, wonderful. What a wonderful thought. Oh, thank you, Lord. Do you believe right now, you, right sitting here, that you have the power? I can't remember the words now. The spirit of power and love and self-control, that you have that spirit living in you because you've given yourself to him, you've invited him in, and that's what God has given you. And so you have that power in you right now to say no to the devil and yes to the Lord and not to listen to the enemy and not to give in to fear. How many times did David say something like this, and he would describe a situation that was fearful? But David never said, I don't ever feel fear. There were many times he felt a lot of fear. But he also said, I will not fear. I'm not going to go by that. I'm not going to give in to that emotion that I feel. Because we're going to find out emotions that arise within us. We're going to have everything in the world that will attack the truthfulness of what God has said, and God is looking for a people who will believe this in the face of whatever the devil throws at us, whatever our flesh throws at us. Do you believe God wants to actually release his power into our lives in greater ways? He's told us. We have great and precious promises. And that's why he goes on. Well, it says, so that you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. Some of us are still trying to escape in a practical sense. But God says, I've given you everything you need. Do you actually believe my words? Because way back there, I've saying the same thing, I guess, but maybe this is something we need to get, needs to be said.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.